All right, guys, welcome back to Working Title here on CGLO 1690 AM. Cleo was deep in the history of forensic science with some, oh my God, I've already forgotten her name. I can't believe it, but I feel so bad. Was it the dollhouses?
Yes, dollhouses. Frances Glessner Lee.
Frances Glessner Lee. Oh my God.
Yeah, it's not a super easy name.
Okay. I was going to say, like, why don't I remember? But now I realize why. Frances Glessner Lee. Okay. So FGL. All
right. Yeah. But just to give you more of an idea, sort of, you know, how incredibly detailed these were, as I was saying, there's a documentary on YouTube. There's tons of videos that people do about them where they show you the scenes and you can see everything yourself, but just the astounding amount of detail. They were filled with mouse traps that worked, rocking chairs that rocked, the food in the kitchen had proper labels on all the cans, and she would even knit little socks and clothing and blankets on straight pins, which I just could not imagine attempting to do. The skill that would take
on what on
on straight pins, like the pin you use to sew with. Like,
oh my God, yeah.
So they were just the smallest little knits.
And
I won't go too far into detail on these parts because it's a little graphic and I'm sure not everybody wants to hear about it. But, you know, she was training under sort of the medical side of things and forensic science. So she was also taking into consideration, you know, the discoloration that would appear or the bloating that would be present.
So she was like really getting into the details on the bodies like that. That's cool.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it was, you know, it was all for that type of examination and the sort of blood splatter patterns that would be around the house or the scene. And you just had to take all of those different things into account to sort of try and decipher everything. And she was doing this of her own fruition, but eventually, I think when she sort of started to get a little bit more established, through the 40s and 50s, she hosted a series of, which this sounds a little schmoozy to be totally honest, but it was a semi-annual seminar in homicide investigation, and it was sort of a week long conference, where they would bring in trainees and homicide investigators and everything, and she would present them with the nutshell studies, and they were studied intricately. They would discuss them, and then it ended with a fancy banquet because cops still suck and they were all rich and all that lovely stuff. So they were, you know, again, not to sort of solve the murders, mostly to just train your eye on how to look at things, and it was really instrumental in sort of training police at the time to try and think more like forensic science,
like deductively, you know, as Sherlock Holmes used always says, right?
Exactly.
I absolutely like it's funny, I have such interest in this. Like, one of my, I guess, like, always interests, I think, in my back pocket. Like, I would never, I feel like, go after it as a career, but it always been like, oh, a career that would have been so cool. And it was definitely like private investigation. Like, that whole idea of, you know, piecing things together and solving almost like the mystery, the puzzle, right? Like, and having the eye for that and the brain to put those connections together, like, that is so cool to me, you know?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. Yeah. And growing up, which is, I think, one of the hardest things to not reconcile. Like, it's not difficult, but, you know, I hate cops and the police force and defund the police and everything. But I do, as a sort of a guilty pleasure, find crime investigation so fascinating.
Yeah, and absolutely.
Yeah, well, I used to love watching Criminal Minds when I was a kid. All those, you know, true crime, The Staircase, and all the true crime documentaries stuff. Because it is like a study of human behavior in a sense. And it's just so fascinating to learn how you can look at one thing and be able to tell, you know, six different possible scenarios just from the way that this prop is lying this way or things like that.
That was like always my favorite part of the Sherlock Holmes mystery, is like he always like gave the other scenarios too. It was never just like one solution. It was always like, because it's true, because that's how it is. It's like, well, here are the theories. Right, you know, and so it's just awesome. But go on. I'm sorry.
Oh no, absolutely. No, thank you very much. I appreciate it. And yeah, I feel like I'll probably actually queue up our songs before we go much further. And
so what do you got on the playlist?
So next up is Black Rain, which is by Rye. It's like their newest single. I, for so long, liked this band. I have two of their albums on vinyl, and I had no idea that they were Canadian.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah. It's a project by, I think they're from Toronto, and it's one singer.
Cool.
And there was originally like a Danish instrumentalist with him, but it's very like soothing R&B. Yeah. And then the next one up is a cover of a Prince song, and it's I Would Die For You, and it's by Tika, or T-I-K-A, I think it's Tika.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's an R&B singer from Toronto as well.
Yeah, awesome.
Enjoy.
All right, guys. So I hope your ears are ready for those lovely tunes. You're listening to 1690 AM. This is Work and Title here on CGLO. Welcome back, everyone, to Working Title here on CGLO 1690 AM. Well, yeah, so we just heard Black Rain and I Would Die for You by Rye and Tika covering Prince. So, yeah, what's next on our FGL adventure?
Yeah, so I will elaborate one second. I did also just want to say song I Would Die for You is incredible. I love that song. And she does a fantastic cover of it. And mm-hmm. I had a lecturer in my first year, Dr. Eli Diamond at King's University of Halifax. He gave a lecture on Prince as a divinity and basically argued that Prince was Jesus. And that was one of the main songs that he cited.
Wow.
Because he says, he's like, I'm not a woman, I'm not a man, I'm something you'll never understand, and I would die for you, etc. So basically, Prince died for our sins.
Yeah. No, but I love that idea that somebody arguing that Prince is the second coming.
Yeah.
Because but it's like, I totally see, like, the way I hear people talk about Prince, like, I like Prince as much as mm-hmm. next guy, but I've never, I feel like, really listened to his full catalog. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, even when I saw like the Foo Fighters, like Dave Grohl, like on stage, wouldn't shut up about Prince. And it's like, Prince wasn't even there, you know? And so the way I hear people talk about him, like he's legendary. You know?
Yeah, he's very magical. He's very ethereal. And yeah, I feel like his catalog of work is like a lot more diverse than people might think. Like, I feel like there's no Purple Rain, which is, you
exactly
know,
right.
Great. Yeah. And that's awesome.
Yeah, 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 for sure.
Here's my first real concert, actually.
Really, Prince?
The Metro awesome. Center in Halifax. Yeah, wow. It was really
wild.
It was very impressive. It's a very cool boast.
The Foo Fighters were mine, and he wouldn't shut up. He told a story about Prince in that show.
That's amazing. In Questlove's first book, he talks about roller skating with Prince and Eddie Murphy, and it was like he was obsessed with Prince, and he would listen to him in his parents' basement, but he would drum at the same time, and so they couldn't hear what he was listening to and stuff. He's a real legend for sure, and that's she awesome. Definitely does justice to his song. But back to Dollhouses. So Nutshell Studies, and so they had these fancy sort of seminars where they would be studied, and they would talk about them and talk about forensic sciences, and everybody would, you know, rub elbows and drink cocktails and whatever. And they have been displayed to the public before. Uh-huh. There was originally, I think, 20 created, but basically 18 live on and are used still, and those were the ones that were displayed at the Renwick Gallery in the Smithsonian Art Museum from October 20th of 2017 to January 28th of 2018. And so although they were displayed to the public, the solutions of the murders are still kept secret for those in training only. They are not given to the public. People are very tentative about revealing any information on that sort of thing, because it's not meant to solve the murder. And so she also used her inheritance to establish a department of legal medicine at Harvard Medical School in 1936, and she donated the first of the Nutshell Studies in 1946. So that was the first one, and she donated it herself.
And so there's one at Harvard.
They were used in lectures on the subject of crime scene investigation there, but she passed away in January of 1962.
Okay.
And in 1966, the Department of Legal Medicine at Harvard was dissolved, and the dioramas went to the Maryland Medical Examiner's Office in Baltimore. Then they are on permanent loan there and still used for forensic seminars there. So that's cool, basically though. their permanent home.
Yeah, yeah.
And she, you know, ended up being the, the first female member of the American Academy of Forensic Sciences. She was very instrumental in pushing forensic science further than where it was at the moment. There was a quote that said that she was referred to as the mother of forensic science, which don't know that much, but
I'm saying I would be very curious to see like what, you know, the history of forensics now, and then see like where she would pop up in maybe, you know, if at all, if I was like reading something like that, right? Mm-hmm. You know, because I find, you know, it's like, especially given so much women in history, like, you know, she could have been totally omitted by other historians, right? Mm-hmm. But kept in with others. So I'd be very, like, it sounds like one of those points of contention, right? You know, some consider her the father of modern forensic science, right? And then others are maybe thinking it's somebody else. But yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know enough to comment on all. But yeah, in the documentary, they do talk a little bit about, there's one woman that's like, she definitely was discredited a little bit, because, you know, she was making dollhouses on the surface, and it doesn't seem like a very important
scientific use of your time.
Yeah, exactly. But then people saw, you know, how much detail they had.
Yeah. Like, oh.
So it was very impressive. Yeah. But yeah. Cool. I think
that's
we have
awesome.
Two more songs coming up before
we
wrap up. So yeah, next we have Love Takeover by Dominique Fee-Aimé, and I believe she's from Montreal. Cool. And that's a nice, lovely R&B number as well, kind of funky, which is nice. And then we have Song on the Beach, which is off of Arcade Fire's new album, and it's featuring Owen Pallett. I have no idea who it is, but it is really beautiful, and it's completely instrumental, which was not what I was expecting out of Arcade Fire. So it's been an interesting one.
Arcade Fire, I know they're Canadian, but they're not from Montreal, are they?
No, they are.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's what I was remembering, and I wasn't sure if that was true. I was like, I don't want to say it. Yeah, but that's crazy.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. Wild. Well, all right. So here we got that for you guys. So keep that dial tuned here on CGLO 1690 AM. We'll be back with some more Working Title.
Taking over the same old kingdom. Building empires made of freedom. Making over the brand new queendom. Nurturing the roles that led to freedom. That lead to freedom. Yeah.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Working Title here on CGLO 1690 AM. You just heard Love Takeover by Dominique Fiamme and Song on the Beach by Arcade Fire featuring Owen Pallets. And so Cleo, what do we got going on now? And finally, she's been called the, you know, possibly the mother of forensic science.
Yes, the alleged mother.
The alleged mother. But what is left? We were at 1963, her diorama. Was this? Oh no, that was after she died. So
yeah, so she passes away in 1962, yeah. And then a few years later in 1966, the department was dissolved at Harvard, mm-hmm. and then they send all of the dioramas to Maryland, and they are used there. And that's sort of the end of her story, really. There's mm-hmm. not too much else. She does live on in infamy as, you know, the first female member of the American Academy of Forensic Sciences. Yeah. She was on the first woman to join the International Association of Chiefs of Police. And you know, she did establish the Department of Legal Medicine at Harvard. She was pretty instrumental. But the last little tidbit of information is that the nutshell studies are named so because the purpose of a forensic investigation is a kind of a saying, is to convict the guilty, clear the innocent and find the truth in a nutshell.
Nutshell. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. That's awesome.
So yeah, that's it's, you know, focused not on the police department, but more so that just something.
Yeah, like
so
forensic
small.
Science is I think an incredible like field that mm-hmm. like, you know, I like everything from forensics pathology to like even just like blood splatter analysis, mm-hmm. you know, to even like the people who are doing like DNA tests. Like it's so wild. And to think like, you know, it's like, you know, everyone has this idea of what it is watching like CSI, right? You know,
yeah.
But then there's this actual reality of like what it is. And, you know, it's still such a cool job. Like, even if it's like a fraction of, as cool, I feel like as it is, as like media depicts it, mm-hmm. like it still seems like such a cool thing to be a part of, you know, granted, minus the, yeah, I guess the gruesome murder scene you might be providing information for.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it is really, it's so interesting, I find. And it definitely, they talk a lot about having to kind of compete with the sort of CSI dilemma
what
of
persona
people,
of what people think it is.
Yeah,
right?
Of just being able to, you know, look at that, say, miniature diorama.
I mean, we can't zoom it in hands.
Yeah, exactly. Or like, I don't have a dramatic one-liner to like reveal how I know, but just to be able to look at something in summation and like at the snap of your fingers decide definitively, like this is what had to happen.
That's not
the way that it works. Like there's so many different options, and that's why you have to practice and things like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah,
it's really interesting.
Yeah. And the other thing that's interesting to me is, you know, that whole, like the Department of Legal Forensics, right? Is that what it was called in Harvard? The legal.
It was the Harvard
medicine.
Medical school. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like it's funny that that dissolved like 3 years after she had died, making me think like, was it around still out of respect for her, or was she the one keeping it together? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like it seems crazy for a whole department to disappear so quickly after the founder's death. You know,
very true. Yeah.
It's just, that's my only question being like, was there someone who didn't want her legacy around, or was this truly just a Harvard kind of being like, you know, quote unquote, making room for a new program?
Yeah, it is interesting. I wonder if it maybe, you know, dissolved into more specific, smaller departments that were like working together, but it still seems strange that they would get rid of the case studies and stuff.
Yeah.
But you know, fortunate that they found another home and they're like, still
exactly. So I just wonder if this is just some snooty pretentious Harvard stuff or if there's something else going on.
Yeah. Someone didn't like her. She was mean to them in the courtyard. And so they had to get rid of her department. Yeah. And I think she also paid for a library there. There was a library there named after her.
I would assume that she's the kind of person that has something named after her somewhere.
Yeah.
Right? You know, that makes complete sense. But cool. Like, that's awesome. I love forensic science. So, like, thank you so much. And what a nice ending with that quote.
In a nutshell.
Yes, exactly. I thought that was awesome. But yeah, I think we got one last ad break for you guys before we head to our sign off and then close out with our usual song. So thanks so much for sticking on this journey, but we'll be right back after this ad break. You can listen to CGLO 1690 AM. This is a working title. And we'll be right back.